Hello and welcome to the Chengdu Gaming Federation podcast. My name is Charlie. I'm joined here with Austin. Today we're talking about a recent release which just came out about a week ago, which is titled Weedcraft Incorporated, and specifically some of the social issues around this game which have become evident subsequent to the release of the game in a lot of the reviews and discussion about the game. And it's kind of an interesting meeting point between sort of social politics in the United States, the legalization of marijuana specifically, and the issues, the social issues specifically, which this game brings up in a pretty surprisingly controversial way. I didn't think that this game would be as controversial as it is.
Right. It's a little bit surprising. I think that some of the issues that plagued the game on its release are a little bit indicative of the larger issues plaguing the marijuana industry as a whole. And it's not like it's the only game, you know, to have marijuana in it.
No, it's certainly not. It's a clever concept. It's an interesting pitch for a game, I thought. And so anyway, just to give some basic information, the game just launched recently on April 11th, 2019. Totally missed an opportunity to launch on 420. What were they thinking?
They actually intentionally chose not to release on 420.
Really? Why was that?
Weedcraft is set out to intentionally remove itself from the typical stereotypes of what, you know, stoners are and all of that, to set itself up as, you know, a more serious game. So
that seems like a totally blown opportunity to me.
Yeah, totally.
Just wait 9 more days. 9 more days. You could have landed on the biggest holiday.
Yeah.
For marijuana.
I think that would have been a good marketing strategy. But apparently they just want to set themselves apart from that. I think it was Mike Wilson that said that. He's the lead on the game.
So the game is developed by Vile Monarch, which is a developer that I'm not very familiar with, but they've made a couple games which we've played. The most notable of which, I guess, is Oh Sir, the
Insult Simulator.
The Insult Simulator. That's right. We played that game. It's available on Steam. It's pretty inexpensive. It's kind of a goofy mini game, sort of. How would you describe it?
It's a little bit about like wordplay and trading off with turns to build the better insult.
Yeah, so fairly obscure developer, but the publisher is Devolver Digital, and they're probably the biggest independent publisher in the game, probably. So anything they publish is going to get a lot of attention. It's going to get a lot of press. It's going to be pretty widely reviewed, talked about, and they have a sort of penchant for publishing games which are
hot topics.
Yeah, hot topics. Controversial games.
Yeah. I mean, Hotline Miami. They're just well known for going out on a limb and doing things that aren't necessarily normally socially acceptable things. So it's a little bit weird that, you know, Mike Wilson would have this, you know, very controversial topic and say that, you know, we're trying to play it safe with this weed game.
It doesn't seem like, well, I mean, the game is very thoughtful, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the stereotype of a game which is based around building a marijuana empire, which is what Weed Inc. is about. It's a tycoon sim game,
right,
essentially. And it's a little bit like a mobile clicker sort of game. There's a lot of like clicking around to grow plants and to water them and to install lights. And we'll get into some of the mechanics of the game itself, but it's really thoughtfully created, I think. I mean, considering that when you hear of a game called Weedcraft, you think it's just like a bunch of lowbrow jokes and, you know, press spacebar to take a bong hit and just sort of ridiculousness like this, but it's really not.
I saw one review say with a person described the game as a game that Ashton Kutcher in Dude, Where's My Car would have just been, you know, all about, which kind of puts it as a lowbrow game, but I don't think that's an accurate that review is not an accurate depiction.
It's so inaccurate.
Which goes into, you know, the broader issue that we're going to be discussing, what happened with reviews and how it was marketed.
I saw that exact same review. That was a GameSpot review.
It's ridiculous.
Which gave the game a 5 out of 10. And I think was the review which may have really given me the feeling that I really wanted to talk about this topic. Because I thought that review, they gave it a 5 out of 10, and it dramatically pulled down the score on Metacritic. And they really just kind of said that the game is well-designed and works pretty well. And essentially, the major issues were about the social issues which this game touches on.
Right.
And I think that's kind of an unfair criticism. So the review specifically said, WeCraft is a well-designed management sim with stylish art and catchy music. I think that's all true. Generally, it does its job well. Managing things is hectic and engaging, and you can't afford to take your eye off the ball for too long, lest something take advantage of your ignorance and kick you out of the market and into prison. However, its characters are stale, its dialogue is boring, and its depiction of ill people is really disgusting. I agree the dialogue is not that interesting.
It's not at all.
The depiction of ill people being disgusting, this is something that I've seen mentioned in a couple places also, specifically the depiction of cancer patients.
Right.
In the game, you target your product, marijuana, towards a number of different demographics, one of which is cancer patients, which makes perfect sense. A lot of cancer patients and people who suffer from various ailments and diseases use marijuana to treat their symptoms and their conditions,
right,
as you would expect. How would you think that cancer patients are depicted inside a video game?
Well, I mean, how would you think that someone who's seeking out treatment, you know, as a cancer patient is, I mean, they're not going to be depicted, in my opinion, as really healthy people. Because if they're seeking out treatment, then they're having some difficulties.
It's being sick, which literally defines them in this role, in this game. So I feel like that's just kind of a really unsubstantial criticism.
Right.
And the reviewer says, I felt particularly uncomfortable when I saw the picture of the cancer patient because of how grossly caricatured it was. It looks exactly like you would picture a cancer patient to be caricatured.
Yeah.
Frail. For a game that could have engaged in a globally significant discourse, all WeCraft really amounted to in terms of cultural and socioeconomic discussion was a jaded look at stoners and the people who sell them drugs in the back alleys of dodgy neighborhoods.
Now, that's totally not true. That's a very inaccurate description because if you want to, you can go the legal way and, you know...
Right.
You don't have to be doing the shady side of business.
Let's describe how the game starts. So it starts, you are an MBA student who recently dropped out of your college course. And the reason why you did that is because your father became ill and died, and he could no longer provide your tuition. So you couldn't afford to complete the MBA program. So you return to your hometown, which is Flint, Michigan, which I'm sure is no coincidence. Flint, Michigan is very famous for being sort of a dysfunctional, dead-end town. So you're in Flint, Michigan, and your father has just recently died, and your family is sort of broken up by this traumatic event. And you reconnect with your brother, who is a stoner who has the idea to begin growing weed to produce money. And apparently your brother has already been growing marijuana inside the house and given it to the father who recently deceased because it treated his symptoms better than pharmaceutical treatments, which apparently gave him a lot of adverse side effects.
Right.
So far, this is not really much of a caricature at all. It sounds like a very realistic scenario.
Right.
And it's not really making fun of the situation or really treating it very lightly. I think it treats it with a great deal of concern and respect and thoughtfulness.
I mean, there's no stupid jokes or anything like that really being made in the story. I mean, the dialogue for setup for the beginning of the game and important story parts is not too bad, and it definitely doesn't poke fun of any issues. I mean, I think earlier when you mentioned that review saying the dialogue is bad, I agree. For all of the dialogue being terrible when you're conversing with just other dealers or police officers or whatever, but all the story dialogue is tasteful, well done, not like amazing or anything, but it definitely isn't poking fun at the issues and it's engaging enough.
So what you do in the game also is you choose your ethical role. And what I mean by that is when you begin the game, you're necessarily operating inside of a black market. You are illegal. So you're illegally growing inside your family's home.
Right.
So that is questionable, you know, ethically questionable, right? But as you grow, you acquire money, you sell your product, and you have the choice to go legal. So you can just grow purely legitimate marijuana and sell it to legal patients who have, you know, the license that they require to legally purchase it.
Or to research facilities or whatever that are doing, you know, tests or whatever. You have multiple options to go about it.
Right. So the ethical path that you take is really up to you. And this is a very complex game. It doesn't.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was really overwhelmed kind of by the complexity at, you know, maybe an hour into the game, I started to feel, wow, this is really complex. when you first start to grow inside your family home, which is the first location which you have the choice of selecting different strains, different soil, different light types. You can change the humidity and the temperature inside the grow space. There are so many different options you can choose. Eventually, you get to hiring people. You evaluate their skills. You put them on different tasks. You can purchase different locations to grow from. You can purchase different locations to sell from. You can choose to sell specific strains at certain locations because certain demographics are shopping there.
You can also do front businesses. And depending on what sort of front business you have set up, if you know, will maybe attract more customers. You also even, and in regards to the growing aspect of things, have to water and trim the plants or hire someone to do that for you and manage like different levels of... not just the temperature and humidity, but...
oh, yeah, the NPK, like the soil ratio of like nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium inside the soil. And different strains react differently. So you have to change the NPK value for different strains to achieve different levels of quality. And the customers are discerning of the quality level. And then you have police. You can have a relationship with police. You can attempt to bribe them. That can go bad. You can donate money to the police union to increase your relationship with the police.
Or you can even have a dialogue between them, get to know them, become friends with them, and just ask them to look the other way to help you out as a friend.
Right. And you can do a similar thing with dealers as well.
Yeah.
You can have a relationship that is friendly with dealers. You can be enemies with them. You can do research to dig up dirt on them, and then you can blackmail them with that information.
You can blackmail your employees too.
Yeah. You can fire your employees. You can give them promotions. I mean, there's just so many options and so many things you can do in this game. It becomes a little bit overwhelming, I think. And that was mentioned in some of the reviews which I read, which kind of criticized it for being a little bit much in terms of the complexity.
Well, I mean, I told you I restarted like 3 times just because I kind of put myself into a situation where I thought it was just going to continue going downhill, and I thought I learned more and could do better. And it wasn't until the 3rd or 4th time of playing that I'm like, okay, I think I get this, have a slower start, you know, take my time with things, and things went a lot better for me. But it was complicated. I was like, wow, whoa.
I don't think I've ever played a game quite like it before. You know, I think what it first reminded me of was like a mobile empire building game where it's like you start with your, you know, your castle or whatever, and tap here to upgrade it, and you have to wait for this timer to complete, and then you can dispatch your troops and move to this place. It's a little bit of that sort of gameplay, except it's obviously not a free-to-play game, and there are no in-app purchases, there are no microtransactions inside the game. Very nice. And it feels pretty novel to play that type of game where it's like everything is open. It's just made to be fun. It's not made to create artificial paywalls in order to, you know, produce revenue.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. I just, you know, I don't have a lot of fun with dealing with that stuff. In looking into other similar games, I checked out some games similar to this that do have that stuff.
Yeah.
And that was just like not fun for me.
The game has a fantastic art style. It looks like an American comic sort of style, illustrative, very colorful, vivid, sharp, neat looking graphics, I thought. Not bad music too, pretty
dope
cool.
Dope soundtrack, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's for a game that you're just sitting there and kind of listening to the music over and over. It's like good background music, you know, but it suits the game well, I think.
It does. It's like instrumental hip hop music and like sort of loungy, slick, down tempo sort of music. I think it suits it really well. And I basically just really enjoyed the game a lot. I mean, it did take a long time to progress through it. I would say the game took me a lot longer than I thought it would. It, upon first glance, appears to be a simple game that just really doesn't have much to it.
Well,
but as you start to play it, I think you realize that it's a pretty great degree of depth.
Well, it's a game that I think a lot of people are going to go, cool, weed, I should check that out. But ironically, it's probably not the best game to play while you're high.
You think so? I mean, it's too much to do, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of things to manage, and I just feel like...
it's not that chill of a game, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like super chill. But I was surprised that the game was just a lot more substantial than I thought it would be. You know, looking at even the trailer of the game, which was released prior to the launch, or screenshots of the game, I think it sort of belies the complexity which is underneath the surface.
Well, also, the more you play, things start to they don't overwhelm you right off the bat, I would say. And I mean, it continues to, it's supposedly around like 20 hours or something. And every step of the way, I haven't beat it, but every step of the way that you go, they add new mechanics to the game to keep it fresh and interesting and keep, you have to keep managing the same stuff that you have been, but now you have new things to deal with, potentially shipping things to another city, managing another set of employees, dealing with the political issues and stuff. So
yeah, you can push for legislation. There's like a sort of a tech tree looking thing with the politics. And man, I mean, it's just, I'm really blown away by how much there is there. You know, I mean, a game like that, it would seem like, oh, you probably 3 or 4 hours in length. No, definitely not. This game is much, much longer than that. And it's kind of interesting being able to choose, are you going to be like an alley dealer who, you know, attacks your rivals, or are you going to be like a, you know, a research-based legitimate outfit which pushes for political reform?
Right.
Those are two pretty big extremes. So there's quite a broad, you know, spectrum of different approaches you can take to solve these sort of familiar problems. And the game also gives you, there is sort of a hard mode, and apparently there's going to be a third mode of play as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Later. So the normal mode starts where you are an MBA student who's dropped out and you return to your hometown. The hard mode is that you are, I think, in your 50s and you've just served a 20-year prison sentence. Hmm. And you come out of prison and you return to society and you decide you want to start a weed business. And that's hard mode because people are not willing to trust you.
Yeah.
You don't have many connections. You lack a lot of the things which make it easier to get started. And apparently developers working on a third mode as well, which I think there hasn't been much information released about.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about the controversy surrounding the release of the game and also what developers have done about that.
Sure.
So the videos have been demonetized on YouTube.
Oh, that's right. That was mentioned in the WeChat group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty concerning, you know, considering that. So, I mean, look, a lot of the games that we play, you know, this weekend we have a Mortal Kombat 11 tournament. That game is mind-blowingly violent.
Yeah.
And that's not demonetized.
Right.
Right? So, but a game which very thoughtfully navigates this sort of semi-legal situation with marijuana, that gets demonetized?
Well, I'd like to reiterate, you know, as I said, that they're trying to take a serious take on the topic. And I'd like to read a quote from Mike Wilson. He said, "We did all the research with like dispensaries, geneticists, lawyers. We were worried about cultural sensitivity with the subject matter, things like how much more black people get jailed for it. We wanted to be representative of all of the social issues involved." You know, it's a tastefully done game, and then you have something like Mortal Kombat with spines being ripped out and stuff.
I mean, murder simulators are like an everyday affair. I mean, there are dozens of different games where you can just kill dozens, hundreds, even thousands of people in video games. No one seems to bat an eye at that.
Yeah. But then this is being demonetized, which, you know, means that less, you know, there is less attention paid to it, that people are not playing or streaming the game. So less people, the, you know, viral marketing that you get from something like Fortnite, PUBG, all that stuff, what helped blow that stuff up, doesn't get to happen with this game.
That's a great point, streaming the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense that those would be demonetized as well. I did notice that some of the reviews do acknowledge sort of the thoughtfulness and care which went into approaching these pretty touchy subjects. One was Digitally Downloaded, which is a blog which reviewed it and said, "You might be fooled into thinking the game would take the easy route, a simple business sim filled with 420 blaze it jokes. But WeCraft Inc. smartly saves these cheap gags for the Steam achievements and nothing else. It sets out to tell two fairly serious stories, one of an MBA dropout who decides to assist his unemployed brother with some cannabis plants for quick change, and another of an ex-felon who winds up growing the drug to support his now-free lifestyle. Both are concerned with the social determinants of crime and do not give easy answers or squander their emotional weight for a cheap laugh. Over the course of the very long campaigns, you'll get to know a colorful cast of characters, make allegiances and rivalries, and have your moral codes questioned."
Hmm.
I think that's a fair representation of really what the developers are doing.
Totally.
So it's good to see that there's some acknowledgement of that, even though I feel that much of the criticism of the game is not about the gameplay mechanics. It's not about the art or the music.
It's about weed.
Yeah. It's about the representation of cancer patients inside the game. It's about what some people perceived as the carelessness of touching on, you know, the topic of marijuana. Mm. What I saw mentioned in a few places was that the game kind of fails to acknowledge the victims of the drug,
right?
Which I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, I feel like it kind of does. One of the demographics that you sell to is addicts.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like toothless. They look like meth heads.
I mean, and your employees can go to jail. You know, like you can go to jail. Other people can go to jail in your place or whatever. And people have bad things happen to them in the game. Maybe not like terrible things, but pretty bad things still happen.
Do you think you'll finish the game?
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. It's pretty good. It's entertaining. How about you?
I think I will. Yeah, I haven't finished it either. I got to the second city, and the second city is pretty much the same sort of deal.
You have a choice. Which city did you go to?
I went to Cleveland.
Cleveland?
Yeah.
I had Denver, and the choice between Denver and Fargo.
Once you get to the second city, though, then you really start to get to the point where you can influence politics. You can conduct research, and the research helps you identify what the best conditions are for certain strains, helps you answer a lot of those questions. Prior to that, you're just doing a lot of guesswork. Hmm. You're sort of, you know, in one grow facility, you might have 30 different plants, and each one has a slightly different, you know, tuning of the nutrients required, and some of them will yield better results than others, and you're sort of, there's a lot of experimentation involved.
Yeah.
And it is a bit of a repetitive game.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they still introduce more if you're going at a good pace and getting the things done, you know, the missions or whatever that you have to do to progress the story and level up and get to the next part, it continues to add mechanics to keep it fresh. But if you're having a hard time with them and not doing well, you might get stuck in one area and just stuck doing the same repetitive tasks trying to get past that.
Yeah.
And that's not too fun.
I think the most boring part of the game is the very beginning when you're just like watering all the plants yourself and you're doing like everything manually. Once you get past that point and you hire staff, then you have employees who manage sort of the busy work. And then after that, you can sort of focus on more building the empire, like getting new locations and purchasing new strains and conducting research and dealing with police. And I feel like that's kind of where the interesting stuff is.
Well, I still do that stuff myself because I get a boost from my perks or whatever from doing it myself.
It's funny that you can do the operations so much quicker than your employees can.
Yeah.
It's like you hire an employee and they're like so slow just and so inefficient. Yeah, I wonder if that's like intentional as a message, you know, of like you can do it faster yourself than hiring someone else to do it.
I don't know. I mean, they can level up. You can hire better ones, you know, that get better and do it substantially faster, do more tasks at a time. They also, I don't know if you noticed, it might take longer, but they'll be like doing three tasks at a time, which you can't do.
Yeah, that's true.
Another issue besides just the videos on YouTube being demonetized, so it was also their Facebook page was restricted. It was just like blocked off.
Really?
And it's since been reinstated, but they weren't breaking any guidelines, which is why it's been reinstated. But that obviously is hurting exposure, you know, that people would have to the game.
That's shocking that they would do that. You know, Facebook's in California. I'm not sure where the developer's located. Do you know that?
No.
Okay, so presumably it's in some legal state. I think there are 30 of them. But the fact that Facebook would block them, that's very surprising.
It's pretty crazy. So Devolver has stated on record that they've been unable to market the game just, you know, via traditional marketing strategies just due to Facebook, YouTube, all kinds of things, just shutting them down left and right. Reviewers just basically shitting on them, you know, not about the game, you know, but about the content. And even the Chinese partners said the game couldn't be localized. No surprise there.
No surprise there at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing that's interesting, which came to mind was a couple years ago, to sort of go into a little bit of a tangent here, I was in San Francisco at GDC and I interacted with some people who were at a Los Angeles-based company, which is called Scopely. And they're a very big mobile publisher. They have a big WWE game and a lot of big IPs that they've worked with. And one of those was Breaking Bad.
Hmm.
And when I met them, I think it was 2014, they were preparing to launch a Breaking Bad 4X strategy game.
Whoa.
So it's very similar to this game, actually.
Yeah.
You know, very similar to WeedCraft. Basically, like, you know, you play as Jesse, you have a house, you find Walter White, you interact with other characters from Breaking Bad. Gus and, you know, all the well-known people in Breaking Bad are present inside the game because they were also working with Vince Gilligan, who's the creator of Breaking Bad. And they were really enthusiastic about the game, naturally, because at the time, Breaking Bad was like the Game of Thrones of that time. You know, it was like the biggest show on television. It was a massive hit. And I remember thinking, like, wow, that's really cool. Of all the, you know, IPs which you could put onto that type of game, Breaking Bad is like at the top of the list, like, for me, as far as like something which is really edgy and interesting, and it's a really cool world and a great show. And they launched the game in 2015, actually soft launched it. And it remained in soft launch for almost 2 years until they finally canceled it and killed it.
Wow.
And I think that the game just performed really poorly. But and there's very little known, actually, about what kind of difficulties they ran into. And actually, the company which published it, Scopely, they created a sub company and they published it under that sub company so they would not associate their name with the game.
Hmm.
And so that game was killed in November 2015. It was launched in November 2015 and it was killed in July of 2017.
Wow.
And after that, another developer picked up the Breaking Bad IP, and now there's a new Breaking Bad mobile game which is coming out this year in 2019. Mm. And I'm very curious to, it's a little bit late,
yeah.
But I'm really curious to see what happens with a Breaking Bad game in 2019. How does that compare to WeedCraft? Because methamphetamine, obviously legal nowhere. Okay.
Yeah.
So will they run in any trouble? I mean, will a Breaking Bad mobile game Facebook page get shut down? Will they get demonetized on YouTube? Are Breaking Bad videos demonetized on YouTube? I think no. You know, I think the answer is no. It's funny that WeedCraft runs into such substantial problems. Even if it's, you know, medical marijuana is legal, and I've over 30 states in the United States, recreational marijuana legal in close to a dozen states, I believe. And it's just shocking that we're still at the point where Devolver Digital can't freely market the game. Reviewers are sort of hitting it really hard for the social issues which it brings up, which they don't like. And it's just a really fascinating situation. I did not expect this outcome for this game.
Yeah, it's pretty ludicrous. And I think that, as you said, the Breaking Bad probably won't run into these issues just because it's an established, you know, IP with a popular show. Even if it's late now and it's not hype anymore, it's still, you know, I doubt it's going to run into the same issues just because it's established already. But it's far worse issues than, you know, relatively legal drug or something that is used medicinally as opposed to methamphetamines, you know?
Yeah, it's almost as if Breaking Bad and Mortal Kombat and games, Call of Duty, I mean, any of these games which include these moral ills are viewed as absurdist and they're judged as such. Yet WeedCraft is so close to real life that somehow that doesn't get the absurdist label. And so that is judged as if it's something really harmful and really dangerous.
Well, also, it's not as if weed is something new in the game industry per se, but I mean,
well, have there been any other real weed games? I mean, it's, you know, GTA 5, you could open a cannabis dispensary. You know, it's mentioned in a number of games in sort of a peripheral fashion.
Yeah, like Saints Row, you can get pretty fucked up in that game. Narcos or whatever, Narcs, you could like take a bunch of drugs. You could like confiscate it and then you had the option to, you know, turn it into the evidence room, sell it on the street yourself or smoke it yourself. So
Dope Wars, game I've been playing on and off for the last year or so, really enjoy it. It's basically a modern adaptation of Drug Wars, which is the TI-82 Texas Instruments game.
And that's similar, right?
It's all about drug dealing. I mean, there's not much empire building. You know, you're basically just buying the drugs, you're moving to different locations, you're selling them, the price fluctuates. It's a super simple game. And it's made by, I think, one guy, an indie developer who is actually really cool about interacting with the community of players on Steam. So he's really responsive to feedback and such. So it's kind of a cool community around that game. But, you know, he's so small, I guess he hasn't really been hit with the type of scrutiny that Devolver Digital will be hit with here.
Right.
But I'm just really curious to see how it's going to work out. I mean, is the game going to, you know, make money? Is it going to be something which Devolver Digital is never going to try to do again? I kind of wonder what the consequences of this situation are going to be.
Yeah. I also looked up a few other games. You mentioned Dope Game. There's Hemp Tycoon by Adult Swim, although it's like really small in comparison to what Weedcraft is.
There's also Hempire, which is a mobile game, which I believe many people believe that this game was influenced by that.
Right. There's a ton of like weed mobile games I noticed. There's Weed Shop.
Ton of them.
Which is pretty bad. I checked that out. But there's Weed Shop 2 on Steam. And it's got like great user reviews, which I think are all pretty much just, it's got weed. You can watch your weed grow, 10 out of 10. Smoke weed, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy for them to just make it like a silly gimmick.
Yeah, but like Weedcraft, I think, is the only game that I can think of that takes the topic seriously, and it's getting review bombed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the games industry, I guess, is just not ready for that topic, which is kind of ludicrous to me.
It is kind of funny. It is kind of weird. What a strange situation this is. In any case, I think the game is pretty fun. Definitely not like game of the year. It's not like going to blow you away, but it's a pretty cool game.
I think it's worth checking out. And if you're into Tycoon Simulator games, it's definitely, you know, going to be worth checking out. Even if you're not, if you're into weed or you're not into weed, I think it's still an enjoyable experience and potentially educational a little bit.
I think it has nothing. I mean, if you have zero interest in weed, you just have interest in the social sort of politics around this subject. I think that makes it interesting enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Roller Coaster Tycoon is great. I don't care about the design of roller coasters. You know, it's just a pretty solid game.
Totally.
And it's in an interesting cultural space right now.
Right, right.
Before we wrap this up, you want to mention some stuff you're playing recently?
Hell yeah, I do. So I've been like banging out games left and right recently. Let's see, right now specifically, I beat God of War and then wanted to play something shorter. So I banged out Call of Duty 4 last week, finished MKX, and I wanted to finish that before MK11 came out, which is what I'm playing right now, and working on finishing Soma, which is leaving me screaming alone in my apartment a lot.
Excellent.
Yeah, how about you?
I've been playing Katana Zero on Switch. Really enjoying that. Nuclear Throne, it's so hard. It's so frustrating.
So good, though.
Yeah, I mean, I play it I play it with great excitement. And then I get far, and then I die, and I'm like, damn it! I just don't want to... I'm like, I have to turn it off now.
Or you're going to end up throwing your Switch.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a really, really tough game. And what else? I've been playing Mortal Kombat 11 a little bit on Switch. The Switch version is just so inferior to the PlayStation 4 version.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that they put it on there, and it... You know, it looks good, but just in comparison to the PS4 version, it's really, really inferior.
Yeah, it's a little hard to get over that fact.
Yeah.
But anyway, been playing those and looking forward to the Mortal Kombat 11 tournament, which we're hosting this weekend.
Hell yes.
That should be a lot of fun. Competitive Mortal Kombat with fatalities. It's a good time.
Cool, cool, cool.
Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. If you have interest in checking out other episodes, you can find those on our website at chundugaming.com or by searching in whatever app you listen to podcasts with. Catch you next time.
Over and out, Girl Scout.